Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, November 24th, the Church continues to provide aid to the struggling nation of Burkina Faso. We look ahead to the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, and Pope Francis says that Joseph shows that even those who appear on the margins of society have a special role in God's plan of salvation. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Thousands have died and millions have become internally displaced amid the prevailing insecurity in Burkina Faso and a conflict which generates multi-sectoral humanitarian needs. In the face of these challenges, the Church continues to do its part to provide support for people in need. Father Benedict Mayaki has this report.
Burkina Faso has been facing a worsening security crisis amid increased activities of extremist groups carrying out violent attacks and kidnappings in the Sahel region. Despite the presence of United Nations, regional and other international troops in the Sahel, the violence has led to the death of thousands and has forced an estimated 1.4 million people in the region to become displaced. The situation is cause for concern for both civil and church authorities who are taking steps to respond to the situation. In a recent interview, Father Etienne Tandamba, a priest of the Diocese of Fadangourma, noted that the security situation in the country is getting worse every day as armed groups are advancing and there are increasing attacks against the army. More so, kidnapping and confiscation of property takes place every day, while some schools remain closed and the government is finding it hard to handle the situation. However, despite the challenges, Father Tandamba notes that the Church is resilient and continues to pray and find ways and means to announce the good news and care for Christian communities. He reports that the Church continues to make great sacrifices to help the poor and needy, especially the internally displaced. And through the radio and other forms of communication, the Church seeks to bring about social cohesion and religious tolerance as well as dialogue. The Burkinabe priest went on to reflect on the year of St. Joseph, noting that it has inspired a lot of initiatives at the diocesan and parish levels for the Christians in the diocese, who he affirms are very dynamic. Our challenges are great, but we believe we shall overcome, he added on a hopeful note. For years, Burkina Faso, which is located in the Sahel's volatile tri-border area that joins the country's frontier with neighboring Mali and Niger, has battled with insecurity. The vast arid area has been overrun by extremist groups linked to Al-Qaeda and the so-called Islamic State. Meanwhile, many Burkinabe citizens are mounting pressure on government to take steps to restore adequate security levels for the population. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Amid the humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan, the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC, says it will continue to provide much-needed emergency aid and assistance and is appealing to international donors to step up to the challenge. Since the takeover of the country in August this year, the Taliban have been unable to provide care for impoverished Afghans who have suffered decades of conflict. The United Nations has warned that almost half of the population will face a severe hunger crisis between now and March. ICRC Director of Operations in Afghanistan is calling on donor countries to find ways of sending money to the nation as economic sanctions are causing widespread suffering. ICRC spokesperson Florian Seriax told Vatican News of an increasingly desperate situation with children in hospitals suffering malnutrition and families unable to put food on the table.
Malnourished children, helpless parents who are really struggling to find solutions to put food on the table, to warm themselves as winter is about to start and temperatures are already in some places below zero. We have here desperate people who are queuing in the morning at the entrance of banks to get a little bit of cash. Families who have been under massive pressure for years or decades sometimes because of the recurrent violence and conflict in the region. This situation needs all of us, the whole international community, to step up and to make sure that we all support Afghanistan and the Afghan population, because the crisis is already there and it can only worsen in the coming weeks.
If you have to sum up the main emergency today for ICRC in Afghanistan, what would it be?
I think in the hospitals with the malnourished children, knowing that the rate of malnutrition is increasing in several different regions in the country, the increase of prices of food, the increase of prices of the energy in general, all the type of things that are really like putting right now very heavy pressure on the population. And for humanitarian and international organizations, it's also the capacity to deliver aid, the capacity to make sure that there is cash in the country. So it's now really like a time where the whole international community needs to support Afghanistan.
That was ICRC spokesperson Florian Seriak speaking to Vatican News' Olivier Bonnel about the increasingly desperate situation in Afghanistan. An estimated 3 billion people, almost 40% of the world's population, cannot afford a healthy diet. Another 1 billion people could join their ranks if further unpredictable events reduce incomes by one-third. These figures were released by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, in a new report that came out on Tuesday. Robin Gomes has the details.
The Food and Agriculture Organization's annual State of Food and Agriculture, or SOFA, report for 2021 is entitled Making Agri-Food Systems More Resilient to Shocks and Stresses. While providing an assessment of the ability of national agri-food systems to respond to or recover promptly from shocks and stresses, FAO's flagship report also offers guidance to governments on how they can improve resilience. The UN report defines shocks as short-term events that have negative effects on a system, people's well-being, assets, livelihoods, safety, and ability to withstand future shocks. Compared to other economic sectors, agriculture is particularly exposed to dangers such as climate change. The SOFA report stresses the need for countries to make their systems more resilient to sudden shocks like the COVID-19 pandemic, which played a large part in the latest surge in global hunger. At the virtual launch of the SOFA report, FAO Director General Ku Dong-kyu said the pandemic highlighted both the resilience and the weakness of our agri-food systems. Agri-food systems, which is a web of activities involved in the production of food and non-food agricultural products and their storage, processing, transportation, distribution and consumption, produce 11 billion tons of food a year and employ billions of people directly or indirectly. The country-level indicators of the resilience of agri-food systems provided by the SOFA report measure the robustness of primary production and food availability, as well as physical and economic access to food. They can thus help assess the capacity of national agri-food systems to absorb shocks and stresses, a key aspect of resilience. These shocks include extreme weather events, surges in plant and animal diseases and pests, armed conflicts, and disruption in fragile transport links. I am Robin Gomes.
On the occasion of the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, marked annually on the 25th of November, the Talitha Kum Network is religious is calling for more commitment to eradicate the scourge of human trafficking. A call-to-action event at the Rome headquarters of the International Union of Superiors General will see the participation of Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolin and other political and civil society leaders as the sisters give voice to victims and survivors of the trade in all continents. Linda Bordoni reports.
The feisty Talitha Kum sisters who are out there to prevent vulnerable people from falling prey to human traffickers, to save and protect the victims and offer shelter and healing to survivors, are calling on politicians and organizations, as well as on all men and women of goodwill, to take action and eradicate the scourge of human trafficking. They have chosen the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women as their call to action launch day, because although boys and men are victims of human trafficking, the majority of individuals who are trafficked for labour and for sex are women and girls. Fighting this abuse that Pope Francis has described as a scourge against human dignity, the worldwide Talitha Kum Network counts on dozens of sisters across the continents, coordinating the anti-trafficking efforts of 60 intercongregational networks. Thursday's in-person and online event will see Talitha Kum representatives giving voice to victims and survivors, calling for justice, women's empowerment, legal migration pathways, and an economy of care. Like Sister Abby Avellino, who works in Japan and is coordinator for Talitha Kum in Asia.
I'm happy to engage with this call to action because there's so many issues that we need to advocate for this. a call to action for to give justice for all those victims and survivors of human trafficking, particularly all those women from Asian countries. So they are really trapped in this heinous crime that I thought that we'll hear together, we can really fight with this trafficking.
You too, the sisters say, can take action for dignity and justice, transforming exploitation with the power of care, telling friends and family about the trade and joining anti-trafficking initiatives, participating in the journey of liberation of Talita Kum. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The first ecclesial assembly bringing together church members from all walks of life from the Caribbean and Latin American countries is underway in Mexico. The week-long gathering started on Sunday and continues until the weekend. In a video message to the participants, Honduran Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Madariaga presented a historical panorama of the planning for the special assembly, recalling how back in 2019 at the assembly of the Conference of Latin American Bishops, they wished that this meeting be not only a dialogue of intellectuals or religious aristocracy, but one involving all members of the church. And finally, Pope Francis picked up his catechesis series on St. Joseph at the Wednesday General Audience, reflecting on his role in salvation history. Devon Watkins has more.
Pope Francis focused his catechesis at the weekly General Audience on St. Joseph's role in salvation history, especially as he is depicted in the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. The Pope noted that both evangelists compose a genealogy of Jesus, which begins either with Abraham, as in Matthew, or with Adam, as in Luke, and culminates in Joseph and Jesus. Both Luke and Matthew, said the Pope, present Joseph not as the biological father of Jesus, but in any case as fully the father of Jesus.
Tramite lui, Gesù realizza il compimento della storia dell'alleanza.
Through him, he said, Jesus fulfills the history of the covenant and salvation between God and man. Pope Francis said Matthew shows that Joseph represents a central point in God's plan of salvation, even though he is apparently on the margins of the story and of society. Everyone, he added, can find in St. Joseph, who often goes unnoticed or hidden, an intercessor and a guide in difficult moments. He reminds us that all those who are seemingly hidden or in the second row have an unparalleled agency in the history of salvation, said the Pope. He then turned to the Gospel of Luke, where Joseph is portrayed as the guardian of Jesus and Mary. God, he added, offers St. Joseph as a response to the question Cain put to God after killing his brother. Am I my brother's keeper?
Giuseppe, con la sua vita, sembra volerci dire...
Joseph, he said, seems to want to tell us that we are always called to feel that we are the guardians of our brothers and sisters, the custodians of those placed close to us. Pope Francis noted that St. Joseph offers our fluid modern society a model of how to treat human relationships. The gospel accounts of Jesus' genealogy, said the Pope, remind us that our lives are made up of the bonds that precede and accompany us. The Pope added that his thoughts go out to all those who struggle to find meaningful relationships in their own lives, saying this situation leaves many people feeling alone and lacking the strength to strive ahead. Pope Francis concluded his catechesis by offering a prayer to help everyone who struggles with loneliness. He said that they can find in St. Joseph an ally, a friend, and a support. I'm Devon Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch your latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.